You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Got the number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, yes, and a very good Wednesday morning to you and yours. DNR with you and yours on 98.7 ESPN. Today's Stump Wednesday, Stump Rothenberg. We were talking about it, I think, on the show yesterday. Stump Merrill, Yankees former manager.
Yep.
You think that at any point I stole Stump Rothenberg from Stump Merrill?
No. If anything's been stolen, it's the actual concept of Stump Rothenberg.
It's been stolen by numerous outlets.
People.
Yeah. You know, we didn't discuss this. Now, we have it on in the studio.
Opening day, baby.
Opening day of baseball. First pitch about 4 minutes away. It's ridiculous.
It's not opening day.
This is ridiculous.
Well, stop it. Going to enjoy this. I'm going to enjoy this.
Okay. Selfishly, I'm going to love this because we happen to be here at this time, and opening day coincides with the start of our show. So that is great. This is ridiculous.
All the leagues are doing it. This is not just Major League Baseball. The NHL does this.
What, they start in the middle of the night in a foreign country?
Well, it's in a foreign country, yeah, depending on what the time change is.
Well, football doesn't do it.
Well, football goes to different countries. I mean, you get the 9 a.m. start on Sundays.
Yeah, but 9 a.m. start on Sunday when it's not the opening of the season.
It's not the beginning of the season.
Right. It's not. I mean, baseball is, if you think about the most tradition-rich sport that we have in this country, whether baseball is the most popular now, which in fact I don't think anyone would say
think.
Right.
Yeah.
It's clearly not. Like, but when you think about tradition filled, it is baseball still, right? It's the history. It's Babe Ruth. It goes back, you know, forever ago.
The pageantry.
I mean, opening day. And you know, the Reds always had the first game at like 11 o'clock in the morning on opening day. I'm sorry. And listen, I'll enjoy.
The time is gone.
Partaking in the game today and tomorrow because we're up and we get to enjoy that. This is ridiculous.
The time of that is gone, though. I mean, they're trying to grow their sport. That's what this is all about.
But it's, I mean, you're at 6 o'clock in the morning in South Korea.
I don't think that they care.
Clearly they don't, but it's absurd.
I understand what you're saying, and I completely get it. You know how much I love baseball, but, I mean, for us doing a radio show at 6 o'clock in the morning, this is great because we get some live sports.
Selfishly, this is awesome. It's like the same way when the golf is, the British Open, or whatever they call it, the Open Championship is going on at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Australian Open's great. Nice.
Yes, selfishly because you're involved in waking up early. The only reason you're so excited, I mean, you love baseball. I get it. I love baseball too. I'm excited to watch this game. We must be in the extreme minority of people watching this game that are all about it right now.
I would agree with that. But I think that ship has sailed for baseball.
Clearly.
Right? I mean, I think that for them, it's trying to make their sport more popular or get it back to the popularity that they're accustomed to having.
But
right now, you
couldn't send these guys to South Korea in May? And have like a three-game series?
I don't know if that's fair to them as far as how you... I mean, now, baseball.
The travel
coming
exhaustion.
Back. They play every day.
So do they come back to spring training?
No. They'll come back.
You sure?
Get readjusted, reacclimated, and then...
I mean, because baseball doesn't start for another 8 days from right now. So they don't come back and play exhibition games? That's it?
Well, they might. Yeah, they might. But I mean, I think them
that's
starting...
That's weird, no?
Them starting this early is to get themselves back and readjusted before they get into the grind.
But how weird would that
season.
Be? You go over, you play like Padres, Dodgers, that's big stuff. And then you might come back and play exhibition games?
Well, listen.
Very odd.
I understand what you're saying, and I get it. And I know how you know how we both feel about opening day, but this is just another attempt to grow their sport.
I get it. But that doesn't mean I have to like it. Doesn't mean I can't comment on it.
I mean, you got a guy for the Padres that's from Seoul.
I understand.
So, I mean, you got
Ohtani. He's on the mound today, right?
Kim?
Not Darvish, right?
No, not Darvish.
Darvish is what, Japanese? Okay.
And then you got Otani. I mean, this is a big deal over there. The place is packed.
Of course it's packed. Of course. I mean, listen, I don't deny the fact that they're not crazy excited. Of course they're excited. Just for me. RJ, how do you feel about this? Take a side. And don't do the, well, I can see both ways being very fair. Take a real side. Does this bother you that baseball starting 6 o'clock in the morning, Padres, Dodgers in another country?
Well, yes. My disclaimer is that I'm going to watch it also because it's on. I love live sports at 6 a.m. It's strange. Baseball's we think of it as a domestic sport. They're trying to think of it as an international sport. So for me personally, yeah, I find it strange. But for what they're doing, yeah, I guess.
Baseball is huge over there.
Yeah. Huge.
Right now, interest in baseball is waning in the United States. It is. It's a regional sport now.
It's a regional sport now.
So the more opportunities, and this is one of those situations where the two teams that they sent over have real appeal over there.
They do.
For us, it's weird. Well, I guess not for us because this is great for us, but for most people, you're not going to set your alarm on a Wednesday morning at 6 to watch a baseball game, or do you have the time to sit home and watch a baseball game because you go to work? But this is strictly for the people over there.
Right. And to grow the game on an international level.
We get 162 of these things. And how many people, raise your hand outside of us because it's our job, watch every single one of the 162?
How many Mets games would you say you watch a year live?
What sucks for is what really sucks is for the fans of this team.
So if you're a Padres fan, it's 3 o'clock in the morning for you in San Diego.
Yeah. Well, both teams, LA too.
Right. But could you, and you're almost obligated, I mean, if you're like a passionate diehard, like if this is your Giants, for me, you have to wake up and watch it.
You would think, yeah.
So if this was the Mets right now, 3 o'clock in the morning, you up watching it if work was not involved?
If work was not involved for the first one, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe not the second one, first one for sure.
But that's a big ask.
That's a big time commitment.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is kind of where baseball is right now. It's trying to drum up more interest in the sport. Like for those people that you're talking about, we always have this conversation. It's a silly conversation because we always have it. You're not losing those people.
Right. Like
the person that's going to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning may be pissed that they have to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, but they're not going anywhere.
Well, if you're waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're doing it because you're already in.
Yeah, right. You're in.
Right.
You're not going anywhere.
The casual, the 15-year-old is like, yeah, I kind of like it, but I could give or take, whatever. They're not waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning if they don't have to. So, I don't know. I thought it was interesting. By the way.
Yeah, that's the other tough part, though, if you think about it.
What?
I mean, it's every sport's goal. I mean, it's our goal with, our job is to get a younger audience, is to get the younger audience involved. Like, if you're a dad that's trying to turn your kid into, and you love baseball, and you try to turn your kid into a diehard fan.
How does this do?
Hey, sorry, little Jimmy. The game starts at 3.
So I remember when I was a kid, and this is weird because it's not forever ago. I mean, it's a while back. The preseason football games, they didn't show them live. They would show them on tape delay, and the Giants would always be on WPIX, Channel 11 locally here in New York, and they'd show it like 1 in the morning on Saturday night. So the game would go 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whatever, 1 in the morning. I remember me and my dad would stay up to like 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's commitment.
Watching Giants preseason football. But like you said, they already had us. And that was preseason. So very different than the start of the season.
But I think that's part of the bigger problem with baseball, though. And just what I noticed now coaching my son at this age is, I mean, it's hard to get kids interested in baseball. Like for me, I love baseball. I still play baseball. So I kind of got my kids into it. And Milo actually enjoys baseball. But I mean, you've seen, just think about when Ben was a little kid trying to get him up through T-ball in Little League.
Oh, it's a lot.
How hard it is.
And it's bad.
But not only that, but you see, the kids that are initially interested, now all of a sudden as they move up, you see, they just start peeling off because they're like, this is boring.
Right. Well, a lot of kids move to lacrosse now, which is a more active sport.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, baseball, and I love baseball, and my son is a very good baseball player, but it's a bland game. It is. It's a lot of downtime.
A lot of downtime. It takes a long time, especially when you go from coach pitch to kid pitch for the first time.
And there's a lot of it. It never goes away. Like professional baseball, Major League Baseball, you're talking about 162 games. We talk about football, and there's a lot of downtime in football, too. But there's 17 games.
Right, but you also have the physicality in football. You also have the instant gratification once you go from, if you're a star in college, your next step is
the NFL.
So people know who you are and they follow you, and then they're excited to watch you at the next
step. Your next step, if you're a stud in college, is going to be...
And they're going to be able to see you.
How many years in the minors to get to Major League Baseball?
Yeah. The game is underway.
Oh, yeah.
So that's very exciting. If you'd like to follow along, you can watch the game on ESPN. Here's what I suggest. Tell me how you feel about this. Watch the game on ESPN television. Maybe bring the audio down. As good as Carl Ravitch is, and he's excellent.
You don't need to hear him.
Bring the audio down just a smidge and pop our show
up. Yeah, mute it. You just need the sights.
All the way down.
Yeah, so I mean, we're not on TV, which is not our fault.
Right.
So people know.
I have my big fantasy baseball draft tonight.
Ooh.
And it's going to be a doozy.
Very nice.
Well, you know why?
Why?
It's an auction.
Oh, you're doing the auction.
It takes a long time.
But I like it.
You would like it.
I prefer the auction.
You would like it. But it's, I mean, we're talking about 4 hours.
Yeah, we used to do that with the NFL playoffs. We would have a team auction. We'd auction off the teams.
That's translation for Dave. Going to stroll in here tomorrow. I am very tired.
I have nothing.
I got nothing, guys.
Well, no, see, I don't
think... What time does it start?
6:30.
Oof.
Here's why. Well, because normal people work until...
Well, it's not bad for you, though, because... Raymond, what time was tip tonight?
None.
Knicks don't play.
Oh, that's tomorrow night.
Knicks are tomorrow night in Denver.
Oh, why do I think it's...
That's a 9:10.
Because you're probably discombobulated.
Oh, it's 9 tomorrow. Perfect.
How is that perfect?
Better than 10?
I've had my last
10 o'clock. I wouldn't define that as perfect.
I've had my last 10 o'clock dip, and I could not be happier.
He may not have to sleep here, though, at 9.
No, he won't have to sleep here at 9. 9 will be over by... He'll be done by 12:15. He'll be in his bed by 12:45, and he'll be fast asleep by 1 o'clock. Get a good 3.5 hours and turn around and come right back in for Friday morning.
Let's go.
Look at the size of Ohtani.
Ohtani is enormous. His first ever... This is a monumental moment we're dealing with right here. Ohtani's first ever at-bat as a member of the Dodgers.
Have you ever been to a game and seen him in person?
No. Have you? You yes. have, I guess.
He is a humongous human.
You saw him at Yankee Stadium, or you were like out about this country?
No, I think I saw him at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah?
He's humongous.
Was it like 6'5"?
He's humongous.
Yeah.
It's not just the height. It's just the thickness.
He's like a prodigy, right? From the time he was like 16, they knew that he was this level of player.
Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts is awesome.
Is he
playing short now?
Yeah. Play some short? Whatever you need.
So, we have a lot to do today. We have, obviously, the Stump Rothenberg on the Wednesday. We have Stuff You Missed. We have the 3 stars. We have all that good stuff. My buddy just texted me. He goes, no way, it's only 4 hours. He goes, I would sign right now for 4 hours. The draft.
Oh, the auction, though.
Yeah, he said it'll take more than 4 hours. But regardless of that, from superchargers, exhaust kits, and more, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, easy to bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm actually really excited for you. And you know why?
Because I deserve it?
I'm so confused.
Safe.
I'm so confused how he just stole second and then they just forced him out at second base.
Well, he must have got sent back to first. Because we're not watching. You can't pay. I mean, we're not paying attention to it.
Right. I understand. But that's very perplexing. All right. Regardless of that. So I'm excited for you because you know what? Just let yourself go. Just let yourself go all in. I don't know if Tyron Smith's going to be healthy. I don't know if Mike Williams is going to be healthy. I don't know what Aaron Rodgers is going to be. I'm assuming the defense is going to be pretty good. Just say, you know what? We're winning the whole thing. I'm all in.
Well, I don't need to say that.
No, I heard Rich Cimini on the K-Show yesterday, and they're like, Rich, do you think this is a playoff team? He's like, no, I don't think so. Come on. Go. Let yourself go. Live a little. Say, we are in it. Right. We're going to win the whole thing here.
What did I tell you? What did RJ tell you? As this whole thing kind of just started to fall apart after the first 4 snaps, and people calling in, myself included, complaining about why is Zach Wilson our quarterback?
Right.
Why aren't we going out and finding, why are we willing to punt in the season? And we kept saying, and RJ would kind of sit me down and be like, listen, as bad as it is right now,
right?
As sick and tired of watching Zach Wilson play quarterback as you are right now, the second the season is over, you will be equally excited for the upcoming season. As long as Rodgers is back and he's healthy. And he was 1,000% correct. Maybe even more excited.
So are you all back
in? I have no choice. Yes, I'm all in.
Right. So this team's going to win the Super Bowl. Say it.
No, I'm not going to say that yet.
Why? Well, if they don't go to the Super Bowl, if they don't win the whole thing, this has been a failure. Look at what they've done here. Look at the pieces they've brought in.
I understand that, but there are still concerns about the pieces that they brought in. Yeah, you're right. If everything goes perfect and Tyron Smith stays healthy and Mike Williams is back and he stays healthy, yes. Yes, they have a legitimate chance, especially when you look at their division and what's happened with Miami's
taking a step back.
The pieces that they've lost.
New England is not good. And Buffalo, I think, is clearly your stiffest competition. But I mean, you tell me.
And our defense has actually played well against Buffalo.
Well against Buffalo, and Buffalo lost a couple key pieces to that team.
And I think it's safe to say the easiest road to the playoffs in the AFC is winning your division.
Because you could go 10-7 and not get in.
Well,
if you don't win your division,
right? Look at the AFC North. I mean, you name it.
The North is brutal. The Chargers. Well, I will see what they're going to be. But I mean, yeah, you got multiple teams in the South. Point being. You now have your left tackle, you have your right tackle, you have your second receiver. Now, are there question marks surrounding these guys? Absolutely. But you know what? Live a little. Let yourself think that
this is
going to be real and we're going to be all in. And now, it's fluid what you can do in the draft.
Right?
You could, if they took Brock Bowers, you'd say great. Oh. If they took a receiver, you'd say great. If they took an offensive lineman, you'd say great. If they moved back and stockpiled another pick or two, you'd say great. The one thing
There is a real temptation to take Brock Bowers if he's sitting there at 10.
Yeah, there is.
Real temptation.
You know, this Daniel Jeremiah mock draft of we're going to move up to 5, that's I'm not doing that. I'm not mortgaging more pieces to move up and take him. I'm just not doing it.
Well, no, I think that mock came up before they signed Mike Williams.
You can say what you like about Aaron Rodgers. You find him to be polarizing, difficult. You don't like him, political, all those things. Guys want to come play with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. They know how good Aaron Rodgers is. See, that's the funny thing about just playing professional sports, and I tell you this all the time, like how important it is to be yourself because guys will sniff you out immediately, and that's not just players, that's coaches and everything else, is a lot of the conversations that we have now, just noticing doing this job in the media or fans call in, how they feel about players is not how guys around the league or in a locker room feel about that player.
No, not at all. Clearly, he has not turned anybody off.
No, his teammates love him.
Right.
They watch him throw a football. They've seen what they've played against him. They know how good he is, and now having the opportunity, you know, especially knowing that this team is, they have no choice. They have to be all in. Right? I mean, that's the other part of this, is that they know whatever it's going to take to try to win now is what this team is going to do. And you got to give Joe Douglas credit, especially with the kind of like the, you know, financial situation that the Jets were in. For him to be able to maneuver so far the way that he's maneuvered,
right,
and get, I mean, I don't think, if you asked him if we could ever get him on the show to a man, if he ever thought there was a chance that Tyron Smith was going to sign that kind of deal, he would have said no way.
It's attractive. I mean, I imagine he's not going to practice, and Mike Williams is coming off a major injury. Right? No. So you go out there.
Well, how about
the
fact that they don't let Mike Williams leave the building? How nice is that?
Love it. They're giving him, what, ham, egg, and cheese sandwiches?
Pork roll, Taylor ham.
Take your choice.
But that's ham.
Yeah, but it's different. It's not just ham.
Okay, fine. Special ham, egg, and cheese.
You can't, if you're saying, I wish you could give me a ham, egg, and cheese, it's not going to be a Taylor ham.
All right, I got to be honest. I'm not even sure what Taylor ham is.
Pork roll.
Well, I don't know.
You'll like it.
Yeah?
Nice.
Well, that's nice.
It's tasty. Because
that's a Jersey thing, right?
It's a Jersey thing, yeah.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Good Fred would be uncomfortable if your buddy's spouse invited you over for lunch and didn't tell
I'd have
your buddy.
Zero problem with it.
What if you walk in and she's wearing a Cowboys jersey?
That would bother me. She's wearing a Cowboys jersey. Take her to another room. I want to talk to you. Who do you think you are wearing a Cowboys
jersey?
Not who's
this man you're eating lunch with.
No.
Why do you have a Cowboys jersey?
No. Ray, hey, how are you? Grab it. What are you doing?
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
You don't mind that Raymond wasn't wearing pants? Pants, schmants, no!
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, very nice, Raymond. Very nice. That's an hour in the books. Big 7 o'clock hour on the horizon. Evan Cook sends an email and he says, as best friends, it shouldn't be any issue if any of you guys are having lunch with your friend's wife. Nothing.
Having lunch is not the issue. Not telling your friend.
Maybe you didn't
know. Going, what do you mean you didn't know?
Maybe he didn't know. Maybe he's like, listen, I got business up in Westchester. And all of a sudden he's like, you know, I have a little time to kill. Let me pop over and have lunch with Sherry. If I was on the island, I would pop over and say hi to Cass.
I would still think it's a little weird. Well, you decided to pop over.
You'd be welcome to.
My first thought in Westchester wouldn't be like, hey, I'm going to go pop over and see Sherry.
Why?
Like, I wonder if Dave's home.
Well, so maybe just stop by the house. Be like, hey, is Dave around? Be like,
yeah. I'd text you first, I think.
She'd be like, why don't you come in for lunch?
Like that?
Maybe.
Yeah, well, that would be a little awkward.
Uh-huh. All right, question for you. Sherry makes a play at you. A very aggressive, a floozy-like play.
I'd tell you immediately.
Would you?
Of course. Keep that to myself.
Would it pain you, or would you tell Cass, like, I went over the house, I thought Dave might be home, she made a move on me. You tell Cass that? Because now it changes the dynamic of our relationship.
No, I think I would tell you first.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Just like, so you know.
Would you be upset by that?
I would be, yeah. That Sherry would do something like that to my buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think you'd be remotely torn of what to do?
No, I would not be torn. No.
A little. How about if she's wearing the boots? You think if she's wearing the boots, you're like, oh, man, not the boots.
No.
No.
No, 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 no.
You'd look at her differently forever. Yes, you would.
It would probably change the relationship.
Yes. RJ? You show up, Sherry makes a pass at you, a physical pass. Do you just deny it and move on, or do you tell me?
Are you just going to interrogate us one by one about this hypothetical situation that we hope never happens?
Well, it's never going to happen. I just want to know how you would react to it.
I would panic and call you immediately.
I can see RJ like running out of the house.
Yes.
You would. What does panic mean, though?
I'd call you right there, maybe FaceTime you, although you didn't have your phone yesterday, so that'd create quite the dilemma.
Right.
And then I'd panic even more, and I'd have to just run away and get my car and drive.
And just start driving in any direction.
Yeah, I'd probably even go in the wrong direction.
But do you tell me? You tell me right away.
I'd have to. See, but here's what I'd be fearful of.
That I wouldn't believe you.
No, no, no. What if you make the decision?
Why are you laughing?
What if you make the decision, I have to get rid of one of my friends? He's the threat.
This is a plant?
No.
If Sherry hits on any of you guys, I can't blame you. I would have to blame her.
But what if you did? What if you're like, I need RJ off the show now? That would be concerning.
Yeah,
for
but
me.
Here's the thing.
So it's all about you, huh? It's all about your job and your well being and your financial
security.
No, because
security. I think a piece of you, because you would forgive Sherry. I think you said that before, and you did. Why is RJ giving off that vibe?
I wouldn't blame RJ for giving it. Listen, RJ has a machismo to him.
He does have an aura.
Yeah. I can't blame him for that.
There is a natural sex appeal.
Now, if I go home and Sherry said, listen to what RJ did when he was over, that would be an issue. Like Costanza goes into the bathroom, comes out with no clothes on.
Right.
That would be a major problem.
Next like, hey, Sherry, want to see the chicken breast? Like something like that.
Yes. I would love that.
Could get weird.
Yeah.
See, next day, I just disappear. I think that's what happens. I think you go home, you know, you think it over, you talk with Sherry, you hear out her side. Next day, I disappear.
The problem with this situation is it screws up everything.
The whole show never gets back to where it is.
Yeah. Never again.
Well, don't do that, RJ.
Well, he's not going to do that. No one on the show is going to do that.
I just want to be sure.
No one's going
to
do that.
You want to hear something?
What?
I swear to God this is true.
Uh-huh.
We were hanging out in college, like our friend circle.
Oh no.
No.
They had a thing.
No, never. But a female friend of ours had a boyfriend, and we thought he was cool. He'd been around for a few months.
Okay.
And we're hanging out one night, and she goes, you know, it's funny, I had this dream that, and there's like 10 of us, RJ that you and I hooked up last night. But it was so kind of like out of nowhere.
So she's having sex dreams about you.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you know exactly what happened.
So I kind of laugh it off. I did nothing. I could see why the boyfriend would have a problem bringing this up.
Yeah, of course.
But here's the problem. And this is why I tie it back to the why I'd have fear of how your hypothetical would play out. He was glaring at me for the rest of the night. He was not mad.
You didn't do anything wrong.
I didn't do anything.
He was glaring at the wrong person.
He was. But he totally.
Yeah, but you can't even glare at her, really. She's done nothing wrong. Her subconscious is. It's not her fault.
You can't vocalize something like that.
No, I agree.
Not in front of people.
No. Numerous missteps there.
Yes.
She can't say anything, and his anger is directed at the wrong people.
However, he didn't stick around that much longer. Maybe this was the beginning of the end. He, by far, 100% blamed Dream RJ and took that into real RJ. And I don't think he ever forgave me for this thing that...
He never forgave you for a thing you had issue with.
He was very strange towards me from that point.
Really?
Yes.
The thing is, the threat was established from then on in. And
RJ was like his sexual Freddy Krueger is what he was.
That wasn't a slip of the tongue by the girlfriend.
Well,
by
maybe
the way.
It was a slip of the tongue.
No. She did that on purpose. She 100% did
so
that
RJ,
on
that
purpose.
Was her desperate way of saying, I want you. I need you.
I don't think so because
be with me.
It's so bold in front of your significant other.
Like she was done with him. She was done with him.
I don't know, maybe.
Raymond, have you ever cheated on anybody in a dream? Or been with anybody to make the cheating on the other side?
Didn't we talk about this? I feel like
he was that guy.
This.
No. I know you did it in real life. I'm saying, did you ever dream cheat?
Everybody like has a dream or something would happen. Yeah.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. But
have you ever dreamed about Cass?
I can't say that.
Good.
Are you trying to just break the show apart?
No, I'm trying to make us closer. The show. I think by me asking these poignant questions, it brings us closer together, is what it does.
I don't think that brings people closer together.
No, it does not bring anyone closer together.
If anything, it drives a wedge.
Yes.
Dave's going to get home, just go into every different room.
Rick? RJ, did this... RJ,
Ray, are you here?
RJ, did the guy that she... her boyfriend, did he like you? Did you guys have a close relationship? Or was he ever like...
We were never super close, but previous... He'd been around for a few months. We were cool.
Do you think he was kind of maybe jealous of you, though?
I don't think so. I think he was just really mad.
And she wanted to kind of send the message?
You know what I think she was doing? News gets out when people want it out. I think she was using it to gain leverage.
So
the
Joe Shane situation.
Yeah, to gain leverage over him about something and use me as a prop.
Right.
And me as the prop, like my draft stock.
Yeah,
plummeting.
But he, I mean, in retrospect, what she did was ruin you. She made you look bad.
Well, it ruined
in
the relationship.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what she was trying to do is what he said.
Now, were you with the lady at this time?
No.
Which I find hard to believe with the kind of paninis he was whipping up.
Yeah, paninis and that hair. Yeah, I agree with you. Although he was a heavy set gentleman at one point.
He was not heavy set.
He said he was 175.
Was that off air yesterday?
Was that freshman year?
No, that was on air.
Yeah, freshman year.
Rick was getting all the breakfast at the time.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I gained
75.
And now he's 150.
Pounds. Yeah.
So.
Wow. Not crazy.
You have any pictures of that?
I'd
love to see a photo.
Fat RJ?
Yeah, I could.
I love that. You really loved those paninis, didn't you?
I could try to find something.
There's more than the paninis.
Let's go to Ryan in the Bronx. Hi, Ryan. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
A lot of grilled cheese.
Good morning. How is everything, boy?
Good. What's going on, buddy?
All right. Listen, I figured it all out. Dave, unlike me and Slick Rick, you're in a different era than us, okay? You got some years on us. We grew up on Maury and Jerry Springer, okay? So we know not to do these types of things. I thought you were crazy, but you're crazy, bro.
Wow.
Like, because normal people don't go to their friend's house for lunch with their wives without them there. If any of my boys right now, any of their wives hit me up and like, oh, come to lunch today, red flag. Oh, she wants to smash. It's crazy. We grew up on this. It's crazy.
So let's just be honest now, Ryan. You don't completely trust your wife.
Bro, I don't care. Yeah, you're right. Maybe. That's
so you don't.
What it is.
So,
no.
So Ryan,
no.
This is not about me, Ryan. This is an issue with you and your wife.
No.
You don't trust your wife.
I do. First of all, she knows better not to ask any one of my friends to come over for lunch. That I'm not around. Because
so you open the door, you walk in from work, and they're having just a really nice lunch. You know, they've got food.
Yeah.
You would lose your mind. Lose your mind.
Okay, here's what would happen. So I did the Bronx Shuffle, and I moved up north to Putnam County. If I came home and my wife was having a beautiful, delicious lunch with one of my boys in the kitchen or living room or wherever, I am going to execute my Second Amendment rights. There's no way I'm coming home and seeing my friend having lunch with my wife and they're not going to be naked. It's just the era that we live in. It's the era that we live in.
Did you just say they're not going to be naked?
You've seen what you've done. Right. You see what you've done.
All right, Ryan, thank you for the phone call.
See what red flag. Red flag. Oh, she wants a smash.
Red flag. Red flag.
I'd be an
it's like he's
call.
Calling an audible at the line of scrimmage.
There's no way I come home and they're not naked.
Can you imagine, like, under center? Like, red flag, smash on three.
Ryan, I hope everything's okay, buddy.
Oh, my goodness.
See, sounds like there's something deeper there.
That call was troubling.
Sounds like there's something real there that he's worried about.
Red flag. Oh, she wants a smash.
But by the way, this is... Shut up, people. You ready for this?
Yep.
Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott's brother, Tad.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Roasts Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts when ranking his top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. Quote, you said quarterbacks, not running backs. Why do I have to hear from Dak Prescott's brother on
Tad
what
Tad is
think?
Very vocal, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, if I'm...
If it was if up to him, he'd take Dak right out of Dallas.
If I'm the Cowboys and if I'm Dak, I would sit him down and be like, shut up.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
We don't need to hear from you. Nobody cares what you think.
Well, forget just the Cowboys. I mean, it's
an entire offseason of family members.
Right.
Like, we're doing this
again.
But
the family members don't understand that it gets... I mean, whatever you say, people assume is coming from or is the opinion of the...
So you're just the mouthpiece for what Dak... Well, that's even worse.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that one in particular, but some of the stuff that was said earlier in the offseason, it feels like, you know, if, you know, CeeDee Lamb, was it CeeDee Lamb's mom?
Raymond? Mom. Yeah.
Yeah, he's saying something.
Mom,
then she's her
Michael Parsons' brother.
Right, who you call and complain to? It's usually people
tired.
That you're close to and you trust. The Raymond's so done with the Cowboys.
It's actually disheartening.
It makes me sad.
It's disheartening because I think part of the allure of Raymond is he's such a Cowboys fan that you can battle him. There's no battle to be had now.
There's no fight left. None right now.
None whatsoever. Let's go to Joe in Staten Island. Hi, Joe. You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I just wanted to talk about the Jets, what they did yesterday. I absolutely love the move. I think that really solidifies the wide receiver position. And now going into the draft, I want to know what you guys think about maybe we got to go after Brock Bowers. I mean, I think he's a stud, an absolute stud. He would be a perfect piece for this offense. What do you guys think?
I would have a hard time not really considering taking him if he's sitting there at 10 with how good I think he is.
I would have no issue with that.
No, I'd have no issue either. I think the point that was made yesterday on the show, and I don't want to give credit to one person, but it was made on the show yesterday, which is I think it's going to be something that Aaron says he talks to Joe all the time about stuff like this. Is it something, if we're going to use the 10th overall pick and there's other opportunities to draft an offensive lineman or there's an opportunity to trade back and pick up another, you know, pick up a second round pick or whatever it ends up being, like, are we going to get the most out of this investment in him, in this offense, with Nathaniel Hackett?
So you're not drafting at all for the future. Not, it's all the immediate.
Well, the future for the next, I mean, it could be 2 years. It
right,
could
but,
be
if
three
I, years. But if I take a tackle, that's going to benefit me, you know, for the next decade.
Well, but it's also going to benefit you after this year when you're going to be, I mean, when...
When you lose Tyron Smith.
Right. So, right. I mean, both are going to benefit you. I'm just saying, like, is it bang for your buck?
But are you thinking what's going to benefit me more quicker when you make this decision of who you're going to take?
I would think, yeah, what's going to give you the
probably
most...
Probably so, right?
Most instant impact.
This is a nasty email.
What?
Corey Marte. You better have your phone today, you bleep. Real genius you are, huh?
Wow.
I mean... Did I show a lack of intelligence
by forgetting my
phone at home?
You were trying to get very offended that you left your phone.
You wanted to keep yourself hydrated, so you picked up the waters and the protein bar.
I mean, I made a mistake. I don't think it shows a lack of intelligence.
You've committed a vicious, vicious crime, according to him.
Greg Mills emails in, Dave, I always thought you were better than this. It's bad enough we have to listen to your pretty boy co-host vomit all over the Jets, but now you're doing it as well. This is a team that is an embarrassment. They've never won a thing, and yet fans act and talk like they're the Chiefs. And we all have to listen to this for a second straight year. Never thought you would join in. You're sad and pathetic. Because I like what the Jets have done.
Has one person on this show ever acted or pretended like the Jets were anything like the Kansas City Chiefs? Not one time.
No. And I'll sit here and tell you now that the Chiefs are in a different stratosphere than the Jets. But to not look at this and be excited, I know there are a lot of ifs. If Tyron Smith is healthy, if Mike Williams is healthy, if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, it's all, but they're all immensely talented players, and this is all predicated now on health.
You're right. And all the things that you would point to that will hold this team back as we move into this next season, so far, Joe Douglas has done a good job of addressing those issues. The offensive line was a huge issue. How is he going to get it fixed? And you get a guard, you get two tackles, you get AVT back, and now on top of that, you add Mike Williams, and now you have the flexibility at 10 to do a bunch of different things. Right? Like the draft can fall here now. There's no sense of urgency. I got to get a tackle or I got to get a wide receiver. I mean, relax, man. No one said they were the Chiefs.
No. I don't even know that they're the Bills.
I don't even know if they're going to win the division.
Right.
You can still be excited.
But you got to go to the playoffs.
Have to.
That's an absolute minimum. Okay, do you have to win a playoff game? Yes. Yeah, I think you do.
Yeah, probably.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
RJ was really unsettling. I totally lost my composure at one point during the meeting.
You yelled at people? Because we kind of had dueling meetings going on.
I understand why you guys were not in our meeting.
We were in a different meeting.
We weren't needed in yours.
We wanted you.
The other people didn't.
They said we don't want you in the meeting?
We weren't wanted or needed.
Seems odd to me, to be honest with you. So what meeting did you guys have?
Meeting back here.
Top secret information.
Small,
with
a, private.
With high-ranking officials.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Brian Windhorst. You're familiar with the work of one Brian Windhorst, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know he went to the same high school as LeBron?
I did.
Graduated like 5 years earlier than LeBron. So he, of course, on ESPN, this banana looks like it's been through the ringer, by the way.
They're all like that.
They're all like that.
Delicious.
Maybe so. So Brian Windhorst on ESPN yesterday, guess what he had to say? He has a health update on one of the members of the Knicks.
Let me guess.
Uh-huh.
Mitchell Robinson will be back by the end of the month.
Let's take a listen to what one Brian Windhorst had to say yesterday.
They've got a very important MRI that OG Anunoby came back from the West Coast to New York to get on that elbow that he just had surgically repaired. And if that MRI shows more damage, I reserve the right to be a little worried about the Knicks, because when they have OG, they're 15-2. When they don't, they're below 500.
Right.
But they continue to be rough and tough. Mitchell Robinson should be back before the end of the month. We're still waiting on Julius Randle. But they're only going to get better as long as they can get healthy. And look where they are. They're in fourth with a shot at the second seed still.
A real shot at the second seed. Now, a couple things there. My understanding, the MRI has been done on OG and it's clean. And that's, I mean, end of the month is next week.
Right.
So we're going to get Mitchell Robinson back by the end of next week. Think about that center position now. Robinson and Hartenstein, find me a team in the league that is a better duo than that. I'm not saying that like Jokic is center. He's obviously better, but I'm saying like a 1-2 punch.
1-2 punch like that?
They can give you 12 fouls.
I think you saw how effective it could be last year in that Cleveland series. I mean, those two, Mobley.
They dominated them.
Mobley and Allen didn't have a chance.
Dominated them. But I don't think, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't think anybody was under the impression that even at that point, Hartenstein was this player.
Well, he wasn't given the opportunity to show you what he's fully capable of doing.
I mean, without Robinson, you really haven't missed a beat.
It got a little dicey there when you were dealing with Hartenstein's Achilles and trying to manage that. But, I mean, over the last however many games, he's starting to look like the Hartenstein that we saw before he was dealing with the Achilles. But yeah, that's great news. I didn't think Mitchell Robinson was that close.
I mean, end of the month is next Sunday. So you're talking about, I mean, today's what, March 20th?
Yeah.
Talking about 11 days. He's going to be back within 11 days. That is great news for this team.
Which I think is important for him too, because he was dealing with, I mean, that lower body injury is tougher to come back from just because you can't do as much, you know, cardio-wise. It's easier for a guy that's dealing with the upper body. You can keep your cardio up. So
right.
It's good that you're getting him back with still some time before you hit the playoffs.
It's great news. Now, you need OG to come back healthy. Okay, here's a question for you. How good can they be if Randle doesn't come back? OG's healthy and Robinson is back.
I think they can win a first-round playoff series.
Can they go to the Eastern Conference Finals?
No.
So under no way do you envision the Knicks going to the Eastern Conference Finals if they do not get a healthy Julius Randle?
I mean, I guess, listen, I don't want to say there's no chance, but he's an all-NBA player, man. I mean, he's a legitimate offensive threat that you have to account for.
All right, let me give you another scenario. OG's not right, not healthy. He plays, but it's not right. But Randle comes back and is close to what he's been.
So I'm getting pretty close to Julius
Randle.
You're
going to get Robinson
in
the month.
And I have OG on the court, though. Like, maybe not as good, you know, offensively, but still.
All right, you know what? Just to make this clean, no, OG doesn't come back. OG out, Randle back,
I would say probably the same thing.
Same thing. So in order for the Knicks to, in your mind, to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, they have to have all those guys available.
Well, it's almost like you would lean OG just because when he plays, I mean, even when you saw him come back.
15-2, right?
They're 15-2. I mean, he has that kind of impact on this team. I just think once we get to the playoffs, and for me and you, I think our biggest question this entire season outside of the health stuff now was, you know, do the Knicks have another level they can get to? Because you know the teams that you're playing against in the playoffs, they have another level. They don't take the regular season as seriously as the Knicks do. Like, you'll be able to outwork teams during the regular season. You're never going to outwork the Knicks. But postseason, when everyone, you know, is given that same kind of equal effort.
Can you match that? And last year you saw the Heat were able to match that.
Yeah, right. I mean, but, like, I would also say for the teams that are going to have to play the Knicks, can you match the Knicks? Can you match the physicality? Because that's all we keep hearing. Right? I mean, every team that plays against this team, Sacramento was talking about it. Like, this is, like, the level of physicality and intensity that you're facing against the Knicks is, it's like postseason basketball.
But the Knicks have nowhere to turn. That's the one concern that you have.
Well, where they're going to turn is, I'm going to get Mitchell Robinson back, I'm going to get OG back, and I'm going to get Randle back.
Correct, but they can't ratchet it up to, all right, guys, we're in the postseason, now we raise the level of our intensity. That it's a credit to them, but I think a concern as well. Because it's a credit that you play as hard as you can in game 55 and 60 and 70 and all those things, but there's kind of nowhere to go from here. This is what you are.
This is what you are. But I also think once now you have the ability to have your starting five on the floor together, it also does, as you push guys back to what they're supposed to be doing, you can start maybe pointing to, you know, one of the things that I think we pointed to when they made the deals. Now, they haven't worked out yet. Alec Burks hasn't been, you know, as good as we have hoped. Bogdanović, the same thing. But I mean, you start talking about the depth this team has now.
Tons of depth.
If they have everyone healthy.
If they have these three guys back, right? OG back, Robinson back, Randle back, DiVincenzo, Jalen Brunson, Hartenstein.
Look who you're bringing off the bench.
And now you're talking about Bogdanović and Burks off the bench. We didn't even mention
Hart
DiVincenzo, Precious Achiuwa, Josh Hart. Are you talking about, like, Brunson you need on the court. But I think if you could get, you're not going to need Julius Randle to give you 43 minutes a night.
No, you won't. But I think the thing with Julius Randle, and I tell you this all the time when we talk about it, is what separates, you know, all-star, all-NBA kind of, you know, caliber players is there's a level of consistency. Now, Julius hasn't shown that consistency in the postseason yet. Year one, I don't think was fair because it was kind of him and then no one else. And then last year, he was hurt. But, like, knowing going into a game as an opposing team that you're going to have Jalen Brunson and I don't know what percentage Julius Randle will just call, I'm pretty close to healthy. Like, that's something you have to worry about. And there's a consistency into what, you know, what you expect from those guys. We've seen it times this season where, you know, DiVincenzo was good, but there's games when he's not. Like, if you're relying on him to be a guy that's going
right.
to score consistently.
If he's your second offensive player, that's doesn't make you feel great. If he's your fourth, and there are going to be nights where he doesn't need to play more than 22 minutes a game, and you don't need him to score, that's a great place to be sitting.
Right. So, I mean, it's just everything falls into place when you're healthy.
That's
you
right.
saw what this team was capable of doing in January. This was without Mitchell Robinson.
Here's Stephen A. He was on First Take yesterday. If healthy, take a listen to what he thinks the upside for the Knicks are.
If the New York Knicks get healthy, I believe they are the number one threat to the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference. I think they're going to the conference finals. Now, obviously, that's a lot to ask. Julius Randle separated shoulder. I don't know if he's ever going to be healthy, man. I was so depressed when he got hurt because I said, damn, listen, they 14 games over 500 right now. They'd be at least 20 games over 500 if Julius Randle had never gotten hurt, okay? They wouldn't win on no damn slump. Don't get me started with OG Anunoby and how efficient they have been defensively. Mitchell Robinson, if you had that big body, a rebound, and a shot blocker, the defense is already elite without him. Imagine what they would have been with them. So I'm looking at it from that standpoint. I love the pickups of Burks, Achiuwa, and obviously Bogdanovich. I'm looking at the New York Knicks right now, and let me tell y'all something right now. Orange and blue skies, baby. Orange and blue skies.
All right, so a couple things. Firstly, I don't know why he's so excited about Burks and Bogdanovich, to be honest with you. Chu has been a great addition.
I just think the depth. I think when you, I mean, he's talking about a fully healthy team with that kind of depth.
But I think he's.
How about Deuce?
Yeah, he's been awesome.
And what he's done.
Mention him. So tell me, Knicks fully healthy, Milwaukee or the Knicks? Second best team in the Eastern Conference. Boston has the mantle, right? They're clearly number one.
I would probably still lean Milwaukee.
Because you've seen it from them?
Well, because I've seen it from them, and I think they still have arguably the best two.
I don't know that no, about
that's
that.
That's why I said arguably. I would say I would write
clearly
down the way
Jalen
Brunson is playing. Clearly the best.
Right.
And having Mitchell Robinson, especially if you're dealing with Giannis, would help big time.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Good friend would be uncomfortable if your buddy's spouse invited you over for lunch and didn't tell
I'd have
your buddy.
Zero problem with it. Let's go to Ryan in the Bronx.
Dave, I thought you were crazy, but you're crazy, bro.
Wow. You're crazy, man. You're crazy.
Normal people don't go to their friend's house for lunch with their wives without them there. If any of my boys, any of their wives hit me up, come to lunch today. Red flag. Oh, she wants a smash. It's crazy. You grew up on this.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
See what red flag. Oh, she wants a smash.
On 98.7 ESPN.
A DNR 98.7 ESPN, the big 9 o'clock hour. Is there anyone that has less credibility now at the station than John
Right now,
Winthrop?
No.
He just walks in and says to us, we have another meeting, so he's preparing for that, I imagine.
Diligently, yeah.
And he says, boy, Joe Douglas running...
What did he say first? And he said it like he was joking, but he was not joking.
What about Kate Middleton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want a Kate Middleton update?
Yeah. And no,
we said yes. He sprints over there, gets a headset, and he's back.
Including all the Brits. I don't think anybody cares about Kate Middleton to the extent that he does.
Not like him. It's consuming his life.
He loves it.
Loves it.
I mean, so what? I don't know what's going on.
He thinks he's
going
to get to the bottom of it.
Can you imagine that?
He thinks he's going to get to the bottom of it.
An American program director has gotten to the bottom of what's happening in England.
Do you imagine?
They'd lead the BBC News with it.
How well received amongst the other program directors in the country he would be?
Oh, like the Chicago PD and maybe an LA PD? Could you imagine that? They would fall in love with him. How did you get to the bottom of this? Well, you ever see Homeland? You love that show, right?
I love that show.
When she's trying to put together, like, was the terrorist?
Yes.
And she has the board of, like, all the connecting. Mm-hmm. That's what John has in his home.
100%.
Now, wait a minute. She was at a brunch here and then connect the dots to, then she's at a farmhouse here, and it doesn't make sense. There's not more paparazzi following her around. He's obsessed with this.
He was sending us close-up photos yesterday.
Do you think that there's any chance that when Kate decides to come out of whatever cocoon she's in, she contacts John first to break the story?
Probably not, no.
Like a Steve Dunleavy back in the day.
I think if he was better connected around the country, that he'd have a better opportunity for this.
Which country?
This country. Yeah, but which I think would lead to more connections in the other country.
You think there's a chance that he up and leaves the States to go to Britain to try to get to the bottom of it on his own?
Yeah. I think if there was an offer, a phone call was made, hey, we need you.
John goes Liam Neeson to find
the need your help.
Yeah.
Only you can find Kate Middleton. Next plane out. See ya.
How much time do you think he's spending on this a day?
At least
2 hours a day?
At least 2 hours.
Like reading like the interwebs and dark subterfuge
like you
and all
saw,
sorts
like,
of stuff.
We asked him about this yesterday during our big meeting. You just see like when he mentioned it, like the amount of time that he's put into
this
thing.
And I think what's happening now, tell me if you disagree.
How it's wearing on him.
I think really nobody cares outside of him.
I think there's probably some people that care, but
there's like
not a lot of people listening to
this
show probably
nominally
care
people. But the fact that he cares so deeply about this, and when he brings it up, probably doesn't ever get the reaction he's looking for, I believe probably pains him.
Yes.
I also got a lot of emails yesterday about his appearance because remember I didn't have my phone on me, so I couldn't see them until I got home. People almost to a T thought that his appearance on the show yesterday was dreadful.
Yeah.
Dreadful.
It wasn't his finest moment.
It
really raises some red flags as to whether or not he's more equipped than you to do this job.
Well, I think it also...
Red flag. Oh, she wants a snatch.
I also believe that it really entrenches, not that I was ever concerned about being the number one football person, but I think it really entrenches
what he said yesterday was, you can't come back from that.
No.
There's more important things than what's happening on the gridiron. That's...
Some things are bigger than what's happening on the gridiron.
That's your death knell.
You would just have to play that. That's the smoking gun.
That's right.
Like, where's the murder weapon?
Your Honor, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take the mic. As the audio's playing, I'm gonna turn around. I'm just gonna walk
and
out.
Here's the DNA. It's all over the weapon.
That's right.
Thank you.
Try on the gloves. They'll fit.
Right. Don't even have to try on the gloves.
Oh, away we go.
All his DNA's all over this weapon.
All over the weapon.
Just sitting here.
In fact, if you look in the corner of the gun, it actually says "property of John Winthrop."
Right.
Yes. That's how bad that soundbite was. So, your Jets. Rich Cimini comments on them. He was on the K Show yesterday. The thing that I find curious is that Rich is more dialed into the Jets than anybody that I know. He still won't let himself go. He's still not. Clearly, this is a playoff caliber team.
Well, Rich covers the team.
But I understand that. But that makes me even more worried if I'm a Jets fan.
Well, no, because
Rich doesn't just cover the team. He's been there longer than anybody who's been associated with the organization. Way longer.
Oh, okay, so what?
And he gets a behind-the-scenes look at how dysfunctional this thing has been. It's hard to trust them. It is. Like, they can do all the right things, but it takes... I mean, it's going to be hard to earn the fan base's trust back until it actually works out. In theory, on paper, these are great moves. Like, what Joe Douglas has been able to do, especially with some of the financial constraints that he has, is great, and it excites me.
So is there
any
way...
And I'm going to be all in, but I don't think all Jets fans feel that way right
now. Any way you can envision that they're healthy and they're not good?
No.
So it's all health with the Jets now.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're talking about a couple of the most important positions, right? Like your quarterback coming back at his age from an Achilles.
Right, he's number one, of course.
That's number one. Your left tackle.
Number two.
Is huge.
And then Mike Williams, I think, would be a distant third, but still an important piece.
Yeah, and then do we have another year where the defense stays healthy? Or, I mean, are they as good as they've been?
But you could say that about any team.
I understand that, but you've wasted, but that's how it would work for us, is what people think. So now... When we add all this, all these, weapons to the offensive side, and it seemingly feels like we figure that out, we'll get put in a spot where offense will be great, defense will have a couple devastating injuries, and won't be nearly as good. And that's why you lose now.
That would be catastrophic.
Right, because we just find ways.
That would be catastrophic.
Like Black Friday, we couldn't just lose. You can't just lose and not be a laughingstock. You have to lose the way you lost.
Even you beat the Giants and you came in the next day like, yeah, it did nothing for me.
Or season's over. Okay, let us lick our wounds. It was awful. We suffered through it. And then, here's the Rossini article. All those things that you thought.
Right. It always continued to get worse. All right, Zach, you're going to be the quarterback. I don't want to be
then
the quarterback.
And then Super Bowl, I got Woody Johnson. Hey, we're getting new uniforms. Or I got Woody Johnson. Hey, you know what? We screwed up. We need a backup quarterback.
Or,
thanks, Woody.
Or Mecole Hardman coming out and saying what he said after he catches the game-winning touchdown.
Right. And let's not know Tyrod Taylor, too. Another good signing.
Great signing.
So all the things, all the boxes, as John likes to say, that he had to check.
Yep.
He's checking them.
But John's a fraud, too.
Well, he's the biggest fraud.
Well, because last week he was like, they're going to be awful. They're done. Douglas is doing nothing. And then all of a sudden now he's like, we're back.
We're back 12-5, and he said, and Joe Douglas is running circles around Joe Shane.
Which is an embarrassing
thing.
That's what
he said.
Okay, the Jets and the Giants are not in the same stratosphere of what they're trying to do.
One's rebuilding, one's trying to win a Super Bowl.
The Jets need to sign health risks to try to buoy them to get over the top this year. The Giants are playing the long game. The Giants are not in a rush to get anything done. And then, I'll argue with anybody, I think the Giants have had a very nice offseason so far.
Yeah, I'm with you. The amount of urgency to win is not even close.
The Jets might have this year. It could. I don't know that it will be. It could be this one year.
We have one guaranteed year right now. And we'll see how that...
The Giants may not even have the quarterback of the future on this roster. Probably don't have the quarterback of the future on this roster.
As far as you're concerned, they don't.
I do not believe they do.
Okay.
But how are we saying, oh, he's run circles around Joe Shane? Joe Shane is not trying to do what Joe Douglas is trying to do.
No. No, he's not. But listen, you can't take what he said serious after, how Debbie Downer he was last week. Put me in a bad mood.
You know, he's like a manic depressive.
Right, he's supposed to be this diehard Jets fan, And it was like, this is a mess. It's going to be a disaster. They're going to be 5-12. I was like, what are we
doing? But you can't go from they're going to be awful 5-12 to you sign Tyron Smith, Mike Williams, Tyrod Taylor, and now we're going to compete for the whole thing. You can't go from there to there.
No,
that quickly.
That seems like a huge leap.
Because didn't you know that they were going to make huge acquisitions here?
Yeah, but I think it goes back again to not trusting them. That's where this all stems from.
Joe Douglas is not a moron.
No, I understand that. But when you've been hurt this many times, like going back to your whole like RJ showing up at your house for dinner, like if it was more than just dinner and you decided, you know what, I've been too much invested into this thing. You made a mistake. I want to forgive you. It wouldn't be like, hey, instantly you're forgiven. And you don't have to earn my trust back. Like that takes time. And right now, I mean, with how bad this has been, how bad the Zach Wilson experiment was and all that other stuff, like last year, how they handled last year, like why? Like when you watched every other team in the NFL like pivot on the fly and try to save their season, that we're just rolling with Zach Wilson out there and you keep telling me, oh, no, he figured it out. No, I probably he's going to figure it out. And you do nothing and you just burn a season? Like that's why there's a lot of people that just feel like, you know, we're not going to, why would this work for us? It's not going to work for us. It hasn't worked for us.
It's not going to work until it works, though.
No, I understand. Like,
so you want to just have that attitude every single season if it's not going to work for us?
No, I don't. And I choose not to do that. I'm going to be all in. I'm going to be excited until it doesn't work. And if it doesn't work and I have to live through the nightmare again, I'll live through the nightmare again. I can't do that because it affects how I watch the games, and I don't like that.
So you're coming in with a tremendous expectation that this is going to be a different year for the Jets.
Yeah, I have to. Otherwise, why would I watch?
You know what? Good for you.
And then once we hit whatever week it is and it doesn't work out, I can say to the TV, why do I root for a team that doesn't provide me any enjoyment at all?
Did you just say you'll talk to the television?
Yeah. Unless Brian's over, usually I'll be speaking to the TV.
Does Brian want to join my basketball pool?
Probably not.
Well, why?
I don't think he's that into it.
He doesn't like the college?
I'll ask him.
The madness?
I'll ask him.
RJ.
Yes, Dave.
Did you not find it curious that Brian is his like plus one with everything? Rick is invited to the basketball pool and he doesn't extend an invitation to Brian?
I think he knows Brian. He knows his teammates.
You know your friends.
He says he's not into the hoops, so why invite him?
Man is locked in on baseball right now.
All right, I give up, by the way. I get a tweet. I love how Dave wants all the Jets fans to be so optimistic about next year's season. Dave, how do you feel about Daniel Jones next year on the Giants or their defense or the offensive line?
It's not
exactly
the same thing, though. It's not the same thing, though. I don't think you're pleading with Jets fans to be optimistic.
Then you know what? I think it's going to fall apart.
But I think your point is, if you can't be optimistic now, when are you going to be optimistic?
Exactly that. And I'm giving you an honest assessment. I think you should be optimistic as a Jets fan. I don't know how optimistic you should be as a Giants fan.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Do you trust Miami?
No. I like their coach, but I don't trust Miami.
Right, but do you trust Miami?
I don't believe in Tua, no.
You trust them in cold weather?
Mm-mm.
Defense has lost a couple pieces, coming back banged up.
I think they'll be good. I don't think they'll be what they were.
Okay, do you agree or disagree that the Jets defense has caused Josh Allen some problems?
Yes, they have.
And they've lost some talent on that team.
I would still take Buffalo over the Jets in
this
division.
Why?
Well, I think the quarterback.
Quarterback and what else?
They've been there.
Right, they've been there. But I think that, so what you just said is why you're picking Buffalo is why there's a lot of Jets fans that feel like some of these tweets that you're getting. Because the Jets haven't been there.
Okay.
And,
but the Bengals were never there.
No, I know.
And then the Bengals got there.
Right. Correct. And that's a good retort. But we have a complex. And we have a history of this not working.
Right.
So until we finally break through that, people are going to go back to
what their comfort zone is and what they believe.
All right.
So then
I'm going to get myself all worked up, all excited.
So rather than let myself go and fall in love and the whole thing. But, you know, it's like...
Some people don't like getting hurt
again. You go on dates, and right? I really like that girl. It doesn't work out. I really like that girl. It doesn't work out. Do you stop dating? Or do you date?
Some people do. No, some people do.
Some people just... They stop dating?
Some people will stop dating until they're finally ready to date again. And then...
So they take time off.
Take that one special person that makes them feel comfortable, and you finally open back up. You let the wall...
So maybe they are acquiring the special people.
Like you find your Tay Diggs. And you get your groove back.
Yes.
That's what happens.
Maybe.
And then that's when magic happens.
Or Stephon Diggs.
Like, look, we're waiting for that with Raymond to find his Tay Diggs.
Buffalo Bills went out and got who?
Tay Diggs.
Stephon Diggs. Because they
Stephon Diggs.
Everybody.
Stephon Diggs.
I like, was that Keyshawn?
That's Keyshawn.
I like how Keyshawn doesn't skip a beat, doesn't admonish Don, just corrects him like, Stephon Diggs. And then Don is like, yes, Stephon Diggs. Raymond, play that again, would you?
Buffalo Bills went out and got who?
Tay Diggs.
Stephon Stephon Diggs because they Stephon Diggs. Everybody.
Oh, yeah, Stephon Diggs.
All right, right. You're right, Stephon Diggs. Here is Samini, by the way, not totally sold on this Jets club as a playoff team.
No, I'm going to say no right now. I think they're. It all hinges on one thing. And you know what I'm going to say. It's number 8.
Right.
You know, if you could tell me that Aaron Rodgers is going to play at least 14 games, then I would say, yeah, the Jets have a really good chance to get in the playoffs. Because their offensive line is better now. There's no question about that. But it all hinges on number 8. You know, that if he goes down early again in the season, I don't care who your backup quarterback is, it's going to be really, really tough to get into the playoffs.
All right. But Aaron Rodgers had one freak catastrophic injury. Do you think this is the beginning of the guys completely falling apart physically? If I believe that,
no,
then I wouldn't be in on the Jets.
Right. Like, if you believe that, then what the hell is, I mean, what's the sense? But, I mean, I think what plays into that also, though, is the last time that you actually saw Aaron Rodgers during a season. Now, I would argue that, you know, that bad season for Aaron Rodgers would be enough with this defense to be a legitimate playoff contender, but that was the lasting image that you get. And I think there were a lot of people when, you know, Green Bay decided to move off Aaron Rodgers that said to themselves, is this the beginning of the end for Aaron Rodgers? Coming off the back-to-back MVPs, having a chance in, you know, in the final game of the season at home to beat Detroit in a game that meant nothing for Detroit.
Right.
And they lost. People were saying to themselves, well, look at his age. Like, is this the beginning of the end? And then you follow that up with four plays.
With an injury, not seeing anything. You will not have seen a really good Aaron Rodgers for 3 years when he takes the field in September. So it's a fair point. I still believe there's going to be something there. I mean, he would have to go from really, really good to really, really bad. I'm in the mindset, like, even if he's above average, the Jets should be a playoff caliber team.
Right, and also take into account the fact that he's playing with the injury that
season.
With
the thumb injury.
So, listen, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I know he's fully invested now that this whole VP thing is behind him. He was just on his ayahuasca retreat. I heard some stuff with Jordan Poyer talking about how, you know, this was his second experience with it and how, you know, how amazing it was. So, I mean, I think the other thing that you need to take into account too is how prideful this guy is. Prideful, spiteful, whatever you want to call it, whatever motivates him, is what this looks like for his legacy if this
crushes it.
Doesn't work out.
If this is a blown season for the Jets, listen. First ballot Hall of Famer, all-time great, but not on that list. Brady's on his own, but not on the Peyton.
No, we'll do it. Listen, it's going to do to his legacy what the whole Nets debacle is going to do
for KD.
For KD, and if the Suns thing doesn't work out.
Absolutely. If he comes here and has a bad season in year two after a non-existent season in year one, it'll be really bad. Really, really bad. We'll get to Sim in just a moment. Anthony in Atlantic Highlands. Hi, Anthony.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very good. So I've been listening to you guys every day, and I agree that Jets have made a lot of good moves. So when they signed Aaron Rodgers last year, the line went from like 5,000 to 1,500, like overnight. All these moves they've made, it hasn't moved like an inch. It's staying plus 2,500. They're like the 15th best team, they believe. I want to know why you think Vegas doesn't believe in them as much as all these good moves.
I don't know.
Well, because you have a 40-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles tear.
And you know what? Let me ask you this, Anthony. How much better has the AFC gotten, too?
This is true, but you just mentioned Buffalo, though. They haven't really made... They've been there, but it looks like Diggs is not happy there. Obviously, the Jets
but for the time
won,
being,
what,
he's
seven
still,
games
but,
with three,
but,
four quarterbacks
the,
last
yeah, but
year.
Anthony, for the time being, he's still on the team. Steph Diggs is still on the team.
And not only that, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to, you know, cause any friction here. In my mind, Josh Allen is a far superior quarterback to Aaron Rodgers. Far, far superior.
I think that Josh Allen is probably just a rung below with everybody, below Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
But he's at the top of
and Rodgers
that next tier.
Could be
we don't know.
Five, could be
eight, know.
Could be 10, could be 12. But he's even if he's good, he's not Josh Allen. No quarterback is relied on more for their team than Josh Allen is for
right.
the Bills.
And also, I mean, let's not forget the fact that now they've also found this new willingness to use James Cook more. So it's not always on Josh Allen. When the time comes that he has to take over a game, he can take over a game.
Right.
But he has also struggled against our defense.
He has. That's a very fair point.
I mean, so we have the best defense in that division.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if now all of a sudden you have, you know, a good offense, I don't have to, not even great offense,
but you
got a chance.
Okay, but let me play this game. And this is the one where I don't love. You want Sean McDermott or do you want Robert Saleh?
I think that's an easy answer.
You want McDaniel or you want Robert Sala? Okay. So you're losing that game.
I understand.
What coach
that.
Do you want?
Well, I think that I think you have to take Sala and mix him and add Aaron Rodgers to that mix, though. I think it's a combination.
I think you're right. You want Nathaniel Hackett or do you want Ken, was it Ken Dorsey? Was there OC there?
I don't,
Brady? Dorsey?
I don't want.
Right. You don't.
So no, there Brady's are. There. Joe Brady's there.
Joe OC. Brady. Yeah. Dorsey moved on. All right. RJ? RJ?
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. How are
RJ,
you?
RJ, what do you think the Jets are going to be?
I think they'll be.
If healthy.
Good to very good in a more vulnerable than we think division, I think.
No, I don't think it's. I think we agree that it's a vulnerable division.
If that team is healthy, it's Super Bowl or bust. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah.
See, he's kind of in on the Jets, too, because of Tyron Smith.
Yep.
If that team is healthy.
Would you love it, Ray, if they went up winning the whole thing with Tyron, or would you be like, I can't believe we let him go?
What did I tell you 2 weeks ago?
I don't remember.
When it looked like Tyron was going to walk from the Cowboys.
You love him, don't you?
This reeks of DeMarcus Ware, where DeMarcus Ware went to the Broncos and helped that team win a Super Bowl.
Could you imagine that?
No, I couldn't.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.